It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
There is a picture of Ally Afraidy getting hip checked in New York, and all you see is him holding on to his helmet because he does not want the skullet visible. He's holding on for dear life to his skullet.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final half hour, an abbreviated show this afternoon. Leafs Blackhawks tonight can be seen on TSN 4, heard right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game in about a half an hour. The O-Dog's off to do the panel. We got Mike Johnson in here. We're subjecting Johnny to this heat. How disgusting is this studio?
I was in here this morning for Leafs lunch, and it was not this hot. I don't know what's happened in the last 6 hours. But it is oppressive.
It's gross.
Yeah, it is.
It's gross.
Uncomfortable.
We're on TV, right?
Yeah, we're on TV.
And I'm delighted to be in a suit. Yeah.
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 I'm changing into a suit soon, but I had to dress down for this situation. Poor old man. Oh, probably have sweat right through his suit.
Mm-hmm. He was wearing a suit all afternoon.
Yeah.
I had like a jacket I was going to wear, thinking, you know, it's October 9th.
Would you take blistering heat or disgusting cold?
Cold all day long.
In studio or outside?
No, in here. So for comfort on TV.
I'll take the cold.
You'll take the cold and you'll dress up.
Yeah, you can dress up.
You always put more clothes on.
You can dress appropriately if need be. Outside, heat all day.
I'll take the cold outside and inside.
Really? Okay. You're an Edmonton guy. That's understandable.
Yes, clearly.
But, you know, Noodles and I, we were doing our Thanksgiving stuff this afternoon. Were you rocking that, Johnny, or what?
Yeah, my parents had the crew over, sister and her family and my family, and... Yeah, we did that up till about 4 in the afternoon and then just wheeled myself over here.
Now you're stuck with us.
Can't wait.
Feedback.
Yes.
Should be a wild night tonight.
I need to lie down.
No kidding, man. And you add this heat to it, it's disgusting. But it should be a good game tonight. I mean, everyone is expecting, I think they're expecting, what, 7-5, 8-6?
What realistic? Like if I'm...
4-2 empty netter.
4-2 empty netter.
4-3, 4-2 empty netter.
See, I'm still thinking, I think... Defensive systems are a little loose.
Mm-hmm. Forsberg's playing first time.
I'm thinking 5-4 or 6-5, something like that. I think there'll be goals tonight.
You can't be scoring 20 goals in 3 games.
I understand that, but I think the Leafs are capable of that right now. Things are just kind of rolling along like they did at the end of the season last year where they're starting to feel good. They didn't have a lot of new guys in the lineup. Patrick Marleau and a couple kids on the back end. Realistically, Dom Moore, I guess. But, like, they just need to tighten up. Like they need
But, see, I don't have faith that that's going to happen either.
No, it may not happen.
I think if the Leafs get theirs, Chicago will get theirs too.
Patty Kane is dancing right now.
He is dancing.
He's feeling it.
It's gross.
Saad's pretty happy to be back in Chicago.
I think Taves... is happy that Saad's back in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think we're, you know, that trade raised eyebrows in a lot of ways. Panarin's just such a gifted offensive player.
Right.
But I think what Chicago realizes is that Kane can play with just about anybody and be effective. He can take a Nick Schmaltz, he can take Hartman, he can take Anisimov, whatever, and they'll be good offensive players.
Ponick,
whatever. Kane will get his. I think Taves needs a certain kind of player and a certain quality of player. And that's what Saad is to Taves. So now you get Saad and Taves going. Kane does his own thing.
Well,
and now you're cooking.
And Saad is just straight speed and strength. Like the one thing too, when you talk to people in Chicago, is they felt there was some physicality that Nashville threw at them that they just didn't handle. Yeah. And I think Panarin plays a certain way. He's kind of a perimeter guy. I mean, Kane, same thing.
But Columbus is a heavier team, too. He probably mixes in a little bit better as, like, the skill guy.
Right, he adds an element that they didn't have.
Right, exactly.
He's going to be a great fit there. I watched Columbus play the other day. Their power play, like...
They're a good team.
They're finding him. They fake it to the middle and then kick it out wide to him. He had a wide-open net. Like, he'll be a great... I think that's one of those trades that'll work out for both sides.
It was shocking, though, right? Like, we were down there in Chicago... And it happened, I think, the morning of the draft, morning of the first round. I remember thinking, where did this come from?
Why would this... Panarin's such a perfect fit in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. Saad's been good, signed the long-term contract in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the desire to make the move? But
it came out of left field. Every year at the draft, there are certain guys you're waiting for. We were waiting for Eberle to get dealt.
Mm. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, there were other players. Every year, there's four or five guys you circle. This year, we were waiting for Galchenyuk. It never really happened.
Yeah.
Again, we were waiting for Eberle. It actually did happen.
There have been
Marc-Andre Fleury with all that kind of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. There have been surprise trades, though, because Jonathan Drouin kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Really. And then you had PK the year before. Obviously, yeah. Bergey surrounding both of those. But they're, I mean, this Saad Panarin one kind of came out of nowhere.
Just because Saad also, they had to move on from him.
Right.
You know, like Chicago didn't originally want to lose
him. They just traded him away.
They had to. They felt they had to for cap purposes.
Yeah.
And then they circle back like, you know what, we made a mistake here. Or we have to rectify whatever the reasoning was. And now they brought him back and Chicago's off to a great start. And I think it'd be interesting to poll hockey fans, like non-Blackhawk fans, who they would consider the face of the team.
Chicago.
Yeah, is it Taves or Kane? Like, if you had to pick one, and you're like, no, that's the first guy associated with that
team. I think it's Taves. Just the captain.
Because of the C?
Just the way that he conducts himself. I think Patty Kane is, he's the flash and
who
dash.
Do you think's running on more billboards? Who's running on more promos?
I think you could sell Kane's game a lot easier.
Sell his, but
way more entertaining.
Forget, it wasn't that long ago he was running into some issues off the ice too.
Oh
that,
yeah.
That isn't as
glamorous.
As fan friendly.
A bit of a PR problem.
Yeah. This guy was having some issues that, you know, I know.
But he's got the MVP, right? Like he's the guy who. In the playoffs, they both had a great history, but I think of Showtime as the guy who steps it up a little bit more than
Taves. What's neat about them, though, is that they're so different as guys, as players, and yet they're you can't separate them.
No.
They really are attached.
Even the dollar amount.
Yeah,
8 years, 10-5.
But just you can't pick one because they're just they're the same.
I would like to see behind closed doors, too, because by all accounts, and I don't know if you know Jonathan Taves, very funny guy, very outgoing, it doesn't fit the mold of Captain Sirius that he has. Yeah. Like, you know, the public perception and the private perception of certain players are bang on. Other players are complete opposite. So I'd like to see exactly where he fits in that perception. Because I think, and I've heard from a lot of players, that he's such a different person compared to what he is out in the public.
Well, protect the image, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what all these kids are doing now. Matthews is doing the same thing. McDavid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what their personalities are like.
It's
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I'm not supposed to know. They don't owe us anything.
No, they don't.
Matthews, McDavid, they don't owe us anything.
But at least you know what you don't know.
Right.
And I think that's the issue. Because I think people, fans, public, they see what they see on the field and then presume to, one, believe that that's the guy or girl or woman.
Yeah.
Or think that they really know it from what they see. And neither one of them is correct.
No. You really have no idea.
And you have no idea what's happened in a dressing room. You have no, you know, even for people as close as we are. And we're as close as you can. You stand as close as you can be without being on a team. When you stand, when we stand between the benches, you don't really know what's going on in the dressing room.
No, and you get a sense sometimes because you're around a team enough. You can see who the smart asses are. You can see the guys who kind of drive the engine on the bench. I'll give an example. Like, I love Mark Stone. He's a fiery guy. I've been in between the benches.
That guy talks so much
and
junk
during the game.
Yeah.
And he's loud and I mean, I've never seen. When Ottawa scores sometimes, I'll flash to the bench. He's fist pumping and banging on the. Like, you can tell he's an engine for that team. But I don't know him personally. I don't know him.
But that's the thing. That's a difference, right? Like, that's knowing him when he's at the office.
As a professional, as a competitive guy. But I also hear, I mean, Bobby Ryan's a relaxed guy, chirps guys, and there's some, you know, guys who are funny and make comments from the
bench. I don't profess to know what Bobby Ryan's like, and Bobby Ryan apparently was going through some stuff last year.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
I have no idea. I only know, like, hey, that guy can't score.
Yeah, he's at a 13 goals.
I would suggest as a fan, watch what you wish for. You know, it's one thing to say, I wish I knew more, I wish I knew more.
You don't.
You don't really. A lot of times you don't want to know more.
I don't.
Because everyone's got skeletons. Everyone's doing something.
It humanizes them. Like, the worst thing you can do, and that's a saying, like, if you ever met your idol, you're disappointed because they make mistakes or they're human. And you never want them to see them as human. You think they're subhuman.
Yeah, exactly. And you know the teams are thinking that, too. And if when in doubt, play it safe.
Austin Matthews has put a clinic on in that.
Dude, think about how he has handled this market.
It's
been textbook. He hasn't had one offside step. He hasn't said one thing even remotely controversial.
Well, it was scary for him, I'll say, sorry to interrupt, last week when he had to talk about standing in the...
But that's not him creating anything.
I know it's him.
He didn't create anything.
No, but he did have to technically say what he thought, and there were some people that disagreed.
You're talking about the anthems and the protests. And,
yeah, he still did a nice job soft-selling that without really polarizing himself to anybody.
I thought he did a terrific job, and that's either good coaching, the personality, good upbringing, all of the things that come with him, but... That was a scary topic for a lot of people, if you're in the public life.
If you're not informed, if you're not comfortable
even
with it.
Even if you are.
Even if you are. Because even if you feel...
Half the people are going to disagree with you.
We just talked about it in the 4 o'clock hour. You're not going to please everyone in that situation, and guys are going to be put on the clock because of what a Jerry Jones just
But that said. Was a situation where it was brought to him. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the kind of scenarios where I think even if you misstep, even if you say something controversial or polarizing that could put you in a precarious position, I think there will be people that would immediately say, well, that's the media's fault. Why would you do that to him? Why would you put him in that position? We're talking, or I'm talking, like, he gets caught on video doing something stupid at a party where it's like you did that personally in your personal life. And maybe it's not fair that it got public, but I can't sell it for you because you did it.
Yeah, there's no spinning that one away.
There's no way of getting around it.
And I think for a lot of those young guys, they've done a really good job of navigating
that.
Today's
day
and age. I mean, I played my rookie year in Toronto. I was 23. I'd been to college for 4 years. Like I thought I was somewhat aware of what was happening and being in Toronto, and even then, and that was 20 years ago without even a cell phone around.
Right.
You know, you got yourself into some spots. You're like, well, how did I do that? And I wouldn't want people to hear that.
No kidding.
And these guys, they've done a really good job.
All of them. And it's all trickled down, right? And I mean, Matthews puts up a shield for all of them because he is who he is and he represents what he represents, but that doesn't mean that Hyman and Brown can just run around being idiots all over town.
No.
You know, by all accounts, those kids are, but, you know, textbook pros.
But even the way they constructed their team, too. Like, Lou seems to be, and through evidence of his work over 30 years, there's certain guys that he believes can fit into the way he molds his team. And it wouldn't surprise me if there were guys that had, maybe we'll just call them character flaws or something that he didn't like, I don't think they're here anymore, if that makes sense. Or if they felt that there was a guy in that gray area, maybe either that needed some growing up to do. Like, a perfect example for me is a guy like Nazem Kadri, who's a young kid who grew up in front of the media here, right in front of our eyes, had some maturing to do, and has turned a corner as a pro, and it seems like as a person.
Well, and Shanahan factored into that.
Exactly.
Shanahan was the one that suspended him before Lou even got here.
Right.
And I think that has become more and more clear. Shanahan's into his fourth year. When he first got here, he either was willing to listen to Nonis and what the plan was, or he was openly wanting to believe in what the plan was, because he was still here when they signed Robidaux.
Yeah.
And he tried to acquire Josh Georges and sign Dave Bolin to a long-term deal. He danced around a couple of bullets.
Well,
he was wrong.
It's great. It's funny how quick we forget that.
Right.
Like,
he was there for that.
They've never made a misstep. They're batting 1,000.
But they got lucky.
They got lucky.
That's what I'm saying.
But Josh Georges said, I'm not coming to Toronto.
I'm not waving to Toronto. And Bolin said, I want to go to South Beach.
I want to go to Florida. Exactly. Those are two situations that...
He was on the clock for that.
That being said, even if there is a misstep, they've found a way to back out of the van.
Well, and I think he learned. I think he learned from that. I think Shanahan, to his credit, and he was wrong. He'd never been in that position before. He got in. He was like, okay, this is what we have. Let's see where it goes. And I would assume, looking back on it now, he got 3-4 months into that and said, wait a minute, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
And at that point, he determined there are 6 or 7 players worth keeping, and everyone else went. Because Kadri, Bozak, Komarov, JVR, Gardner, Riley, that's it.
Yep.
Every other player's gone. Every other coach is gone. All the scouts were gone. He determined 3-4 months in, okay, which guys are willing to do things right, am I willing to stand behind and can be a part of a bigger and better program down the road? And that's where they are today.
But the rarity is that he got that core right. I mean, I think, you know, we think that GMs never make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, we can't question them. They make mistakes all the time. You just cited a couple that they tried to make and weren't able to. But the fact of, in that core group,
yeah,
he kind of hit them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know any of those guys you could look at and say, yeah, that was, they're all appropriate decisions, different degrees of the core, but they're all part of the guys you're going to grow with. But Tyler Bozak, probably the only question mark.
Yeah.
But he still, he's fit in nicely.
Fits in well because of Matthews being here and Kadri.
But think of how thin it was, because how many times has Jake Gardner been technically on his way
on the hot seat?
On the hot seat. People, like, there's, it's a fine line. Yeah. It's a margin. And I actually will go back to Randy Carlyle's comments. You remember him saying, like, don't judge a guy until he's got 300 games in the league. And people were crapping on Carlyle for him being hard on Gardner and him. I think Randy got that. Randy made some mistakes, but I think Randy was fair in his assessments of Jake Gardner early on in his career and saying, I see a lot in Jake Gardner, but he's got a long way to go to be a
consistent. He's got another 100 games before he gets there.
The criticism would be for Randy, be like, I don't know if you helped get the most out of him. You might have recognized it was there.
Right.
I don't know if you helped draw it out of him and help him grow.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, very appropriate. And you look at a guy like Bozak. Like, Bozak was a whipping boy for a long time. A whipping boy, because he was the original Zach Hyman. Mm-hmm. Like, if Hyman's looking to lean on a guy, a vet, and talk to him about his situation, go to Bozak, because...
What do I do when I'm the guy who's not good enough to play with my linebacker?
Exactly. Like, it was always, wow, love Kessel, love JVR, why is Bozak playing with them?
Yeah.
And now Hyman is in the exact same situation.
It's a great point.
And, you know, Babcock pointed to that on Saturday, that Hyman, this is a Toronto kid, this is a guy who grew up here loving the Leafs. Mm. He had a good rookie year, relatively speaking, considering who he is and where he's going to go with his career.
Yeah.
He got paid, he got the security, his coach is a huge supporter. I mean, I somewhat jokingly said this earlier today. I think if it were up to Babcock, he'd prefer Hyman to lead the team in points. Yeah. His favorite player. If he could pick one guy to have the most points on the team, it would be Hyman. Right. He loves this guy.
He wouldn't have a job for very long if Hyman's leading your team in
probably
points.
Probably not, but he never says a disparaging thing about this guy. And I appreciate that. I would if I was Hyman. But he did actually open the curtain a little bit on Saturday night, where he said, listen, I don't know where he's getting it from. Maybe it's directly Twitter, maybe it's him reading the papers, listening to talk radio, maybe it's his parents or his friends, but he knows people on the outside of this room are debating why he's on that line.
It's the last group. I know it firsthand.
Friends and family?
I play with Mats my rookie year.
Right.
You know, I was an undrafted kid who no one had ever heard of. I'm playing with Mats Sundin, and the same commentary exists.
Yeah.
And I didn't read, now there was no Twitter, social media, so that was easy. I didn't listen to talk radio. I didn't grab a newspaper on the way to the rink. But my parents knew everything. They were collecting every article. They were listening to every soundbite. And my mom would call me, could you believe they wrote this about you? You're leading the rookies in scoring. I'm like, Mom, you can't get away from it. You're buddies. Can you believe they said that? I'm like, no. I mean, I can believe it because I never heard it until now. But your family and friends, they can't help themselves. And they can't help themselves but let you know about it because they're so bothered.
That would be what would
That's
be so difficult.
That's the hardest part, I think. You just nailed it. I always felt bad. I felt like I could handle criticism. It bothered me when my family got involved because they had a tough time handling the criticism of, I guess, somebody they loved.
Naturally,
right?
they're biggest fans.
Yeah,
like
biggest fans.
My mom watched maybe 5 of my games live because she couldn't handle people yelling and screaming at me in the net and stuff. She was so bothered by it. You'd rather watch it on TV and stuff. And I don't know how many times she would call and say, well, I heard they were saying this, or I heard, I'm like, it's all right. Like, life goes on. Like, but that was the toughest thing that I felt as a pro dealing with is the type of garbage the people that care about you had to go through.
Sure.
And you got to credit Zach Hyman for that.
Yeah.
Because he's been, at least outwardly, and with his game, he's not let it impact his game.
No.
He's not out there saying, I got to score some more points. I maybe should change the way. He seems to very much know who he is as a player, and he's assigning his value as a player to the people whose opinion matters, because ours don't matter.
No.
The fans don't matter. It's his coach. It's his GM. Yeah. He just got a 4-year deal. His coach loves him. They matter. And it's not easy to tune out that noise, but he's doing a good job of it.
Well, in a way, he's a victim of playing in the wrong era, because his style of play has always been the type of style that Leaf fans generally love. Celebrated that. Because this guy works his ass off every shift, kills penalties, checks better than anyone on the team. You know, he'll block shots. He even got into a fight in the preseason. I'm sure he will drop the gloves from time
Toronto
to time.
Toronto kid.
Toronto
Leaf
kid.
Leaf fan growing up.
This is literally everything we were craving for.
Yeah.
This was the great hope of Toronto. But now, because they're quality and they're in a different era, people are like, wait a minute, I don't love the fact that he's on this team.
We're
crazy. It's crazy.
But we're always looking at what people aren't instead of embracing what they are. That's the truth. You know, we're sitting here. The Leafs are up. they've got two wins underneath their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they've played great in stretches, and I think they're still lost. But embrace that you got two wins, mm-hmm. and then work backwards from that. Instead of, you know, Sidney Crosby's the best player in the world. Well, he doesn't do this where he's a whiner. Mm-hmm. This, like, you're always trying to nitpick when you should just embrace what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think there's lots to, if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, to be happy about.
Oh, how could you not be ecstatic?
But now we're nitpicking.
There always Zach will Hyman be nitpicking. There's no question.
Curtis McElhinney, there's your problem.
Until they win and win it, maybe all.
Yeah, then you're right. That's true.
Well, listen, they're 2-0. They're scoring goals.
Good vibe down there tonight.
I think it'll be outstanding.
Down there tonight.
Like Holiday, some of the boys
nice
probably
weather.
Got into our nice weather. The patios are open mm-hmm. downtown. You know, we were saying that off the top. Generally, Chicago's in town on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And this is reserved for like Panthers or Hurricanes. But I think this is actually a good call. Holiday. Monday night, you know? I mean, it's the only time you can go see him play. But these two teams are coming off two big wins over the weekend. They're both playing very, very well. Leafs-Hawks tonight, you can watch it on TSN 4, hear it right here on TSN 1050. Don't forget, listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, come up with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on Detroit October 18th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who played for Mike Babcock. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Steve Thomas. Stumpy Thomas.
Anaheim? Wow, love Stump.
Yeah, it would have been in Anaheim. He was on that Cup team, wasn't he?
Three?
They lost to Devils in 03.
In the final? I've never cheered. I don't care who wins. When I played, I don't care who wins now.
Right.
That year I was cheering for Anaheim because I wanted Stump to win.
You played with him, didn't you?
I played with Stump.
Yeah, so did
he. He lives in the neighborhood.
Great guy.
He's got a great rep. I think I've met him a couple times.
He's the best.
He sounds like he's a beautician.
Player and person.
Yes,
awesome.
Is.
Yeah. So Steve Thomas is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, brought to you by Upper Deck. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Monday night, or prop bets tonight, under the number, Mitchell Trubisky. He's got to show it to me before I start putting money on him going over 220.5 yards. Stephon Diggs, over the number, 77.5 total receiving yards. Over the number, 4.5 sacks tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 87. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. So what do we expect tonight? We started this segment thinking shootout. Are we still thinking shootout? We've been talking for 25 minutes.
Said 5-4.
I'm hoping for shootout tonight.
I said 5-4. I'm not picking a team because they both can score.
You think Babs will freak out tonight even if they win 7-6?
No.
Will he have a disparaging comment about his defensive breakdown?
I'll work backwards.
He will.
I'll work backwards from you'll take the win, but we got stuff to work on.
You That's want to means. Learn lessons
yeah.
while winning.
That's what it is.
And that's what they're doing.
I'm with you on that. Like, the idea of them having to lose a game so that they really break down the tape or really acknowledge that they can't keep playing this high-wire game.
They played terrible in the second period. They saw how bad they could be.
They performed.
It gets everyone attention. They bounce back and won the game, but you can still revisit the second, and guys will listen.
Right.
Right.
Load up in October on points.
Yeah.
Because the past few years, they've been brutal in October. Last year, they had to chase it. They got in the final weekend.
It's tiring to chase it. Not only is it difficult... It's tiring.
Exactly.
You don't want Freddie Anderson having to play the last 20 games just because you're chasing it.
And you get a lot more three-point games, it seems, later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And teams in the East are struggling out of the gate. It's early, but you know the Habs are not off to the greatest start. Ottawa, Buffalo, there's a couple teams that have not had the greatest start. If the Leafs can keep banking points, see where it takes you. All right, MJ. Good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
The AC kicked on for us, too. I appreciate it.
I know. It's actually
right at the end.
It's chilly
beautiful
in here now.
I like
it's beautiful.
You had a cold sweat.
It's a perfect, perfect temperature. Leafs Hawks right here on TSN 1050. The pregame's up next. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.